So there's a great shift that's going on in us, but in the body too. And it's understanding how much we are partakers of the bride. And what we do is significant because we are significant to the one who is significant. And so he's, Neil likes to say he's intentional. And I'm hearing that a lot of people saying he's intentional. Like, of course he is. Of course he is. And as such, there is an intention of his heart, a specific, a clear mandate, a perfect thing that he is doing. And wherever I go, I'm finding that, you know, we're not alone in saying these things. And so you get encouraged, don't you, when you hear it over and over and over again. And he is, you know, setting apart a people who are utterly unto him. Myself and a few others went to hear Isabel Allam speak again. And one thing that she said so much, bless her, but again, the change of season in the kingdom, I'm just going to give a few bullets, the change of season in the kingdom. I'm releasing perennials of the past. All things become new again. Wow. Harvest of the underground bulbs coming up. Visitations to dry bones in the land and nations. Supernatural season of acceleration. A need to shift out of the season of survival and endurance into the season of spring. Yeah. And I do see that as understanding all that we are. The spring is about living in the knowledge, the true knowledge of who we are. Not just as a theory. And I know God and the Holy Spirit is doing a work of making that understanding of theory become such a just a life flow, a natural life flow, a living water that breaks out in us. And so we're no longer, saying, well, I want to be holy, and I don't know how to be. I'm going to try this, and I'm striving, and I'm working through it. I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do this. I've got my structures, I've got my plans, you know. But actually, that's not a true knowledge of what has happened.
Yes, that's right.
It isn't. You can't possibly be striving to do this if you've understood that it's done and we're at rest.
Yeah.
And he is at rest. And we are in a finished work. And so we're living from a position of rest. We're living from a position of kingdom authority, kingdom revelation. And so that's no longer survival mode, is it? If you are in an understanding of your citizenship, of your inheritances, and you're moving out of that place naturally, that is not survival. That is living. And that's the thing that God is shifting and accelerating us into. And she said, he's awakening a new Jesus people. I think yes, a new Jesus people. The need for heavenly, not human perspective in this season. So the shift has got to take place in us all. And the Holy Spirit will do that. As we say, yeah, squinting at it, seeing in a glass darkly. But if I can see it, that means you're getting me there. Hallelujah. And we surrender to that and say, just get me there. Get me there. Okay? And as soon as you surrender, that movement from here to there is quick. Acceleration. Just keep surrendering as you see what the Lord is calling you to in holiness, because that's exactly what he'll do. He'll just say, ah, she's willing. Let's get there. And that's, you know, an alignment with the Holy Spirit and a walking with him. Human perspective is a stumbling block and a deadly trap which causes the stifling of the kingdom. With all of that, you know, it makes sense. The scriptures say that, you know, the carnal mind is enmity against the spiritual mind. And that's a bad paraphrase, but you know what I mean. You know, so you can't be walking out of a human perspective and think that that is gonna bring the kingdom. It can't. It can't. Spirit births spirit. And God is spirit. And he's birthing, and it's a spiritual kingdom that he bled and died for and rose again to give us, to walk in spirit and in truth. And so we are being transformed into this spiritual man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Human perspective demands explanations, where heavenly mindsets trust and move forward by faith. Heavenly perspective means we live for his fame, not what we can get out of the season. And let me tell you, I know this. If we live for him, I really believe it. If we live for him, oh, we'll be most satisfied. Yeah. We'll be met in every part of our being. Truly, truly met, satisfied, filled up, utterly, utterly inundated, can't, overwhelmed. And your soul will be satisfied. Your mind would be free and at peace, because the kingdom of God is joy, peace, righteousness, and that peace is just going to be upon us, and it is life, and that is it. Life has a characteristic, and the divine life has characteristics, and you all know it. I know whenever I get up here, I'm preaching to people who know it and speaking to people who get it. But we're going together. Yes. And part of people sharing up here is that, you know, we're demonstrating a part of the living stone. This morning I'm doing a living stone thing, and, you know, somebody else is going to be doing a living stone, and Claire on her violin is doing a living stone, and you know, the dance going at the back there is a living stone thing. I remember last Sunday night, it was a stonking night. Yeah. Utterly, God really shifted us into that place of not really knowing what we're doing, but God's in control, and we're at peace at that. Really, really rested place. And the young people were, what a holy moment for the young people, who the Holy Spirit just came in and took a hold. There was a young man, Fernando. If I say it three times, apparently, as a teacher, apparently it sticks in your head, I was told. Fernando. But you're not supposed to sing it, you're supposed to say it in a sentence and then maybe it'll stick. Anyways, Fernando was dancing at the back there, and he was doing, he was a most wonderful dancer, I thought. And he was dancing, because we see a lot of ladies dancing. And to see a man dancing, you know, and not afraid to be expressive is outstanding. I love it. Really blesses my heart to see men free. Yes, Kevin, it does. Anyways, so he's, and I knew as he was doing that, I was actually praying for the young people over the microphone, and I looked up and he was dancing. And I just knew what to say because of his dancing. So I was praying sentences that he was doing with his dance, you know. He was a banner, sorry. What did I say? Oh, yes, he had a banner, sure, yes. Sorry, that was the hence the movement here, yes. So, yes, he was bannering and dancing and doing... And I was just having language, so I was doing this. And yes, Lord, bless them. Pour it out, yes, pour it out, yes. Engage them in what... And it was the most amazing expression of his living stone thing going on there, but that... touching me in a different way to deposit into the kids. Oh my gosh, that was such a blessing to me. But that's how the body's supposed to work.
Yes, it is.
It really is. We are like supposed to be like-minded, you know, and we all of that stuff of self-consciousness and stuff, we were just seeing. Oh, it was just a beautiful thing. Most beautiful. And we're getting there, obviously. We're actually moving into that wonderful place that the Lord has for us. We talked about testing in this season. Testing. And that we're suffering. There will be many rewards, yes, but lots of suffering all at the same time. Testing produces endurance. Testing reveals the areas of weakness to perfect us, so that we are lacking nothing. Fiery trials, 1 Peter 4, are part of our journey. And it needs to be preached, actually. It's part of our journey, trials. It shouldn't surprise us, but because we allow ourselves to partake in his glorious suffering and his glory. So I know that we as souls are very glory-minded, as it were. We're looking for the glory. And jolly well should we should. Holy Spirit is saying, yes, you can have it. But you also have to take part in the sufferings yes, it's a very strange scripture to make up what is... lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And again, that's another long revelation, isn't it? And talk. But we're not going to go there. But yeah, there are sufferings and testings and trials that cause us to be people who grow into people of character and who grow into people who persevere and are faithful. And are holy. So God in all things are working things in us together for good. The things that he starts, he completes. And so he has begun a wonderful work in us, and he is going to complete it because he is looking for this wonderful bride. And part of what I wanted to say, I wasn't going to share that, but I thought it was really, you know, encouraging for us all to know that, you know, wherever you go, you're going to hear this thing being said. You know, so we're part of a movement of God in globally, I think, as he raises up people. So this position and condition thing, knowing our position, and we've been debating and wrestling with that for a very long time, I would say almost a year. We have our positions and we are and, you know, and we are, and it's the truth. It's the truth. All the truths of our position is written in this book. So it's got to be the truth, particularly after you're regenerated, obviously. Holy Spirit comes and takes resident in us. He is going to lead us into the fulfillment of all that Christ has prayed for, all that the Father in heaven has mandated from the Ancient of Days and will see happen. And so the Holy Spirit is working in us to fulfill the very thing that we long for we long for, and yet we can talk about it and say we are, but as if we are, the R-ing in my head, the R-ing has to be in my soul, has to be in my spirit, has to be a revelation on the deepest, deepest parts of me that I am dead. And I no longer live. A little child would say, I'm dead. I no longer live. I'm me. And who is this me? The Bible tells me over and over and over again. Me and Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, are one. Over and over and over. And it's the heart of the Father that he would place as he speaks through Jesus and prays through Jesus, Lord, I want them to be where I am. And he says, you know, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you the Spirit. I'm going to send you him, and he is going to do the work that I can't do because I'm only one person. But my Spirit is going to go in you. And I want to look at scriptures for the next 20 minutes that speak about Christ in you. And I want us in every way to ask the Holy Spirit who is resident in us. I should go back and just say, I think probably for the last four or five months, I have been spending time in the morning hours just focusing on Christ in me. Just understanding that there is a person, the spirit of that person, resident in me, living in me, functioning in me. And as such, I then should see as he sees, hear as he hears, know as he knows, understand as he understands. Because if he truly is here, his job is always to bring me into truth. Through my seeing, enlightened eyes, through my knowing of my heart, which is turning to flesh day by day, through my spirit. My heart is being softened day by day. And my spirit will understand wisdoms and knowledge and discernments and oracles and utterances and mysteries that the Spirit knows. Because the Bible tells me that he is going to do that. So we're just going to read some scriptures, okay? So, because as I sang that about be holy, I really felt condemnation can't come in to the place. I don't know how to be holy. And I thought, you know, no, that's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, focus on the position. Focus on me and that I am holy. Focus on what I speak over you. Focus on those things which are true and good and sound and of good report. Focus on those things. Those things renew your mind. They change you and they cause you to be holy. As you, allow the Holy Spirit to ever increase in you. So isn't that you are having to work? But you are having to understand that there is a work going on in you. And you have to align yourself with that work that is going on within you. And that is the thing. Because the Lord says to be diligent and to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He says to be alert, be aware. There's one scripture that says, recognize Jesus is in you. Know this thing. And as you begin to, it's like now, as I'm talking, I'm sensing, you know, the Holy Spirit, knowing, feeling the Holy Spirit in you. And we're supposed to walk knowing this, understanding this relationship, this oneness, this intimacy, this fellowship. And he will check you, he will tell you which way to go, and it's not like I have to actually fire off prayers, though in my this level of glory, I'm going to fire off prayers. But that level of glory, I'm just going to be saying, oh yeah, I get it, because you're just walking, you've moved on, you know, so it's a degree of glory to another, you know what I mean? You guys are following me. Hallelujah. I can see it in you're amazing. That you get me. That's great. We're going together then. Yay. So exciting. It is. It's wonderful. So, right. So divine nature, okay, is in you. Let's look at Ezekiel 36:25. Somebody find that. Ephesians 2:11-12. Somebody else find that. John 14. Yeah, I think this is a good way to do it. John 14:16-17. Second Corinthians 13:5. Romans 8:9-11. Let's go with those first, and we'll see what others we will come up. Okay, so Ezekiel 36:25. Who's got that? Thank you. And stand, please, and speak it out loudly.
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you.
Do it like that.
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Do you want 26? Yes. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
So a really good speaker would just leave that, just speak on that one scripture. I'm not a really good speaker. We're going to move on. But right there, he has placed his laws in your mind, and he has written his, I'm gone blank, what does it say?
That scripture.
And he's given us a new heart. Thank you. Thank you. He's put his spirit within us. He has put his spirit, his spirit, God's spirit is in you.
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Your divine nature, your spirit, you have put within me.
Thank you.
might as well stay here, I think. But, wow, no. Okay, so Ephesians 2, 11 to 12. Ugh. Who's got that? Ephesians 2, 11 to 12? Okay. Ephesians 2, 11 to 12 says, therefore, is this the one, Lord? Doesn't sound like the right one. No, that isn't it. Sorry about that. That is not the right one. We have where is that? We have received the Spirit who is from God. Gosh. That's such a... We'll come back to that one because I don't know where it is now. I've written it down badly. John 14, 16 to 17. Anybody got that?
Yes.
16
and 17?
Please.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him
Okay. So he's, are you getting the picture? He's here. God is in us. And I know these scriptures are just buzz scriptures that you know. And I just sense the Lord saying, okay, another level of revelation and understanding so that we really get the understanding that he is here.
Yes.
He is here. And if we live from God within us, we will be holy.
It says in Ezekiel 1, verse 27, which I think I get to.
Yeah, yeah. Super. So his spirit in us, with his spirit, not I have to do this, his spirit in us will be careful to do those regulations. He will lead us. He will align us. And the one that you had again, he abides with you and he will be in you. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You get it. 2 Corinthians 13. Okay, go on for Chris. Go, Chris.
Examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Do you not realize that Christ is in you?
Do you not recognize this about yourselves? And I think that has to be a daily thing of recognizing when I wake up in the morning, Christ, you're here, you're in me. So I walk through my day, whatever I'm doing, Christ is here in me. All the time. Emmanuel with us. He's in me. John 2:20. I do like this one very much. It says, You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And that knowing, that word knowing, is in the intimacy of oneness. When you are one with him, you know. You know that you have an anointing, that he is here. That he is here within me, living in me. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So cool, isn't it? So good that God himself will work in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. All our hearts have to be doing is responding. Yes, Lord, agree. Responding in a way that just says, yeah, you will in me, you do in me, you act in me for your good pleasure. That's what I'm here for your good pleasure. That's what I'm here for. Work out your holy life through me. The Lord says in Romans somewhere, probably 8, you are his masterpiece. It's Ephesians. Thank you. Thank you. You are his masterpiece. And he has prepared good works for you to do. And that word masterpiece is an excellent thing. You are excellent. You're like the fullness of everything that he can do. You are that. You are a masterpiece. You know what a masterpiece is. Wonderful. Did you hear that? No.
Duncan Campbell said, God is doing something in you that will enhance his reputation as a potter.
Nice, huh? All right. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's the key. That's the place of agreement. That's the place of, because the enemy will throw thoughts right there. Unworthiness, I'm not worthy, low self-worth, you can't do it in me, it's not possible in me. So many things that could discount that. Why? Why would you? Just simple. Because he chooses to? Because he chooses to. I have this, I should have brought the visual image, and I forgot to pick up the video. The third Matrix video, right at the end, right? Right at the end. Anybody seen the Matrix?
Yes.
Everybody?
I'm too
kidding. Okay. Well, I'm sure if you haven't, personally, I would look at them. I have a regular viewing of them. And this particular scene where the one, Neo, backwards, the one, okay, Neo, Jesus, he is fighting for the salvation and the redemption of all Zion, you know. And he has come to fight the enemy and all his minions. And he's standing face to face, and he's They're doing biffy things, you know, biff and baffing and, you know, those kinds of things. Right there, the enemy says, hold on. There's something right. I know this is supposed to be happening. I do know that this is supposed to be happening, but what's going on? I'm not sure what's going on. And he thinks he's winning, and it's all dark. It's all dark, and, you know, Neo is just totally, you know, not quite with the program because he's been beaten up, and Smith is like, I'm feeling the shifting. Something's shifting, and I don't quite understand. I'm supposed to win here. I think I'm supposed to win. Am I supposed to win? And then Neo says, it's true. It's supposed to. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. This is meant to be. And Smith says, yes, I see that. It's inevitable. I'm going to win. And because that's how he wants to win. Of course he wants to win. He's the dark side. So he comes and he plunges into Christ, the one, Neo. And darkness utterly consumes him, utterly consumes Neo. And he is sin. He who knew no sin became sin. And he's just black. And he becomes, looks like he becomes a demon. Okay? Mr. Smith, who is the demon. He's not an actual, they don't look demon, you know, it's nothing bad to look at. Mr. Smith looks like a man with glasses, you know, Men in Black kind of thing. And so he's like, Smith is like, Yeah, I think I've got it, but something feels wrong. Something feels wrong. Something's not quite right. And then, as we look at Neo, who has been taken over by the grave, as it were, he just does this thing. And, accusation, fly off there. And boom, grave, no have no stain upon me. Poo, guilt, no longer. Everything that pertains to the flesh, everything that pertains to the Adamic, everything that pertains to darkness and death, boom. And the glory floods out. That's what Jesus has done. It's just this one little clip. I just adore it. I can just loop it over and over because it says, he who knew no sin became sin. But what does it go on to say?
That we might become the righteousness of God in us.
Did you know that scripture?
Yes.
Some of us did. Where is it, Thalm? Come, I know I've got it written down somewhere. Which one is it in? That we might become the righteous. Colossians, is it?
Yeah.
No, still not there. I do want you to have this in your diary. I do want you to have this, and I want you to think about this during the week. I will find it. Him who knew no sin became sin. It's right here on this side of the page. Lord, show us. This is because I'm up late, too late, you know. I know that.
Yeah.
Where?
2 Corinthians.
Oh! Okay, everybody turn to it, please.
5:21,
thank you. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, yes. The Ministry of Reconciliation. Okay. So, I'd love to hear this in many translations as we can. So I'm going to read, and then this is a NASB, okay? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
This is NIV. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that
another one.
New Living. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin,
No. Passion.
For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him.
Powerful. And it is this, that Christ has done it. He has, through the wonderful work of the cross and the sending forth of his Spirit, has made us righteous. And he is building us and fitting us together, a holy dwelling place, together. And Christ is in us doing this thing. So 1 Colossians 25, 27. Colossians, 1 Corinthians, maybe? Oh, I'm really sorry. I'll get it together. 1 Colossians 1. I'm sure that's got to be it, Lord. Okay. Of this church, Paul speaking, I was made a minister according to the stewardship. Another word for stewardship is anointing. Another word for that would be according to the grace that God has bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. So Paul right here is saying, I am doing what I am doing, not in my own strength, but by a work of the Spirit in me.
Yes, amen.
That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past. So he's talking about the preaching of the word now, this mystery that has been hidden. And he's been preaching this mystery, but has now been manifested to the saints, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among us, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. That is amazing.
I really am coming to understand, as I spend time with the Lord in the mornings, that it's all a grace. It really is. And those who have the name of Christ and are been regenerated and are new creations, Christ and I are shoulder to shoulder, co-heirs. The love that the Father gives to the Christ is exactly the same on me.
Yes.
The power, the wealth, the riches, the blessings, the favor, the inheritances on Christ are in me. They're for me. Every day I contemplate this. And it's changing me. I want to encourage us to move on from elemental things. And let's go on to the things. Because otherwise, we'd be saying the same things to each other all the time. And the truth of the matter is, you guys are fat, very fat with the word of God. I know no other people. I could send you all out. Go and minister. And I would be, know for sure that every one of you can stand up and declare the truth of Jesus Christ with all wisdom and knowledge. I know it. You're so full and wealthy. You know? And so we need to now actually not speak it so much, but begin to live in this extraordinary inheritance that we have, to actually see the fleshing out of it in our lives. So the position is our condition. And the way I am beginning to work with that is in focusing on the truth that the power that does the powerful things, the power that does the holiness things, the power that raises the dead, the power that is able to speak into lives and see in ways that I can't see is here and is available to me, wants me to be in union with him, wants it, desires that, because he wants to live himself in and through me. And so I want to encourage you, choose one of these, just, you know, you can concordance it. There's loads of scriptures, and we haven't looked at them. These Christ in me scriptures, these, the dwelling of God. Back in the Psalm 46. Oh, lovely little one as well. I like this one as well. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God is within her. That's a good one. God is within her. So that's verses 4. Now, this river, this stream, this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It's a river. The holy dwelling places of God are you and me. We are the holy dwelling places of God. We are the city into whom the Lord inhabits and remains. He's not going to leave you and me. He is here, inhabiting us. Habitation? It's here. Yes. You're seeing habitation right now. Yeah. I am the righteousness of God. I am inhabited by the Spirit of the living God. Yeah. God himself is here. Oh, mind, soul, spirit in alignment, my body, come into alignment with the truth. Amen. The renewal coming so that we, my darling, do not need anyone to teach us, for he is in you. And you do not need anyone, though the scripture says impartation is a good thing, but the Holy Spirit himself in there. As you enter into that union with the knowledge that he is within you. Great exploits are available. Great exploits are available. Same that is in that person is in you. Same God. Same God. You think he has a different measure than you? Come on. We have the measure of Christ. And it's the revelation. It's the revelation. And I know that that is why Paul prays for us. And partly we need to be praying that Ephesians prayer, that our eyes be enlightened. To know. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you know that you have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that he has chosen you, and that you are holy and blameless, that you know that you are and are adopted as a son and a daughter. You are. That it's not about anything that you have done, but it's the kindness of his good intention that has done this thing. He's redeemed you, he's forgiven you, he's graced you, he's made known to us, to you, the mystery of his will. Eyes, be enlightened to the truth. That all things are summed up in Christ Jesus. It's all in Christ, it's all in Jesus, and he is in you. That Christ has sent his Spirit, sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that you are his possession. To know this, that there is a hope, and there is a calling, an anointing, a within, powerful withinness. God's Spirit is in you. That you might be know the riches of his glory, of the inheritances, and that you might know the surpassing greatness of his power towards who? Believing. Agreeing. We've got to agree with this every single day. The truth. I agree. I agree with this. I agree that you are resident in me. You have sent the Holy Spirit, and he is working in me to will and to do for his good pleasure. He is working in me to bring me in to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. He is working in me and makes me an adequate minister. There is an adequacy, a sufficiency in the Holy Spirit. You lack nothing. All things are yours because of this powerful thing that is resident in us. Jesus, by his Spirit. I really don't, I feel like I need to say it more and more, Lord. I don't feel like I've done you justice because there's so much. You've repeated yourself, and you keep repeating yourself. I pray, oh God, that your people will go on to higher things, to greater things, that we will indeed understand that, God, you are by your Spirit in us. And there would be a true revelation and knowledge of that Christ is in us. And that you seek to live out your life, to do the things that you have prepared beforehand for the Christ in us to do. We join with you. I know it seems weird because in many ways I get the glory when I do these things because people see me. They see me, but that is what you do. You cause us to partake of a divine thing, a divine nature. You share with us your glory, your splendor. And yet, oh God, you are God. And you do not share your glory with another. And I know that these two things are true. That you are a holy God. And you have called us to be holy as you are holy. And you have given us your Spirit that enables us to act and to will and to do your good pleasure. We embrace this truth, that you dwell within us, we embrace this truth, that you are resident here. We embrace that the divine nature and characteristics of the Holy One can be outrayed through us, through me. You can live. You can love. You can be good. You can speak truth. You can be wise. You can discern. You can be full of knowledge. You can heal. It's your life. We agree, O God, and give ourselves to the life within. You alone are our hope and glory. We set aside our opinions. We take up your thoughts, how you think, how you see, how you behave, how you would talk, where you would go. We live from you, O God. And you, O Lord, are love. You, O God, are kind and patient and full of peace. You, O God, are forgiving and faithful and gentle. You, O God, are kind and releasing and free. You, O God, are holy. You, O God, never fail. We choose, Lord, to agree with the truth that is resident in us. We enter into the union and the fellowship of Christ in us. We live your life. Your life, not our own. Lord, as we continue to walk with you through this week, would you continue to quicken us with not just a mental understanding, but I pray for a manifestation in our physical being, in our souls, in our emotions, Lord, in our spirit man, and in our physical being, we would know. Holy Spirit, you are here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.